Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swing on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Well, welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. This is Nathan Dominic, your co-host with McLean Baxley. McLean, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Okay, great. And with us as well is a special guest, Stan Autry. He has been writing for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for 25 years, and now he covers Georgia State for the AJC. He also covers golf. He knows everything about golf, which we'd love to talk to him about the Masters, which just happened. But as we're recording this on Monday night, November 23rd, there's been some breaking news on the Georgia Southern football front. So before Stan and McLean and I jump in about the Georgia State game this Saturday, we should go over some what we know right now as we tape this about Georgia Southern having our two players from the football team arrested. McLean, can you fill us in a bit on the details?
Yeah, you know, it was announced it came to light on Monday that starting running back Wesley Kennedy III and starting nose tackle C.J. Wright were arrested on multiple counts of possession of marijuana or drug-related objects, and Kennedy was also arrested on one count of possession of firearm or knife during commission of or attempt to commit certain felonies. The athletic department released a statement saying, quote, "We are aware of the situation and are working with law enforcement officials to gather all the facts," end quote. Bond has not been set for either Kennedy or Wright. Obviously, Kennedy, since J.D. King's gone down, Kennedy has been the number one running back, for really, 4 years since he's been in Statesboro. Also a, punt returner and kickoff returner. C.J. Wright coming off of a fantastic game against Army and has been a starter the past couple of years on that defensive line. So, on the field, obviously going to hurt, but also, never a good sign to see two of your starting seniors, arrested and making headlines in that way. So that's what we know so far is that, these two players were arrested Monday on accounts of, possession, and bond has not been set. I expect more, more of a statement from head coach Chad Lunsford or the athletic department as the week goes on, and more about their status for Saturday's game. But just in recent memory with Georgia Southern or with other football programs, expect them to be out unless proven innocent or anything. So that's all what we know right now is that they are facing counts of possession of marijuana and possession of firearms and are still currently in Statesboro jail.
This is this year has gotten stranger. We were prepared in a normal football season for players to be out because of football injuries or suspension from the team because of not being eligible because of grades or something like campus related, not going to class, things like that, or because of COVID-19, we're prepared mentally, at least we're trying to be prepared to have either a couple or maybe a mass number of players unavailable for games, as we saw with Georgia Southern's opener against Campbell, where they were without 33 players for any number of reasons. Was coach's decision, football injury, COVID-19, positive test, or contact tracing, which Coach Chad Lunsford said was really the big issue was contact tracing. You don't know if players are going to be eligible from week or available from week to week. And I agree, I would not count on Wesley Kennedy or C.J. Wright being available for this game this Saturday at noon in Atlanta against Georgia State. But also, we've been talking about when Wesley Kennedy was hurt this season. He missed the opener because of one of those reasons that we mentioned. He missed most of a game against Texas State because of an injury to his mouth. And when they didn't have him in there, they seemed to miss him a lot. Now without J.D. King, that's kind of like Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside. And you mentioned the special teams. Special teams already was struggling, and you take away a weapon. You take away somebody who's can score from any part of the field like Wesley Kennedy III. It's going to be a hole in the potential for them to score. I should mention, as McLean did, we're going to try to keep up with the story as it progresses on SavannahNow.com. Because of the special holiday deadlines, for whenever you hear this, it'll be true. Our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday print editions are already published or in the process of being published, and we will not be able to update in print until Friday, but we will update 24/7 if we have to on savannahnow.com/sports. Look for any Georgia Southern updates. Okay, I'm going to bring Stan in here. Stan been quietly standing by. Stan, any thoughts about, in your experience, when two players get arrested on Monday of game week, is there any trend that we should look for, or what the steps are from here?
No, I think you probably hit the nail on the head, Nathan. I wouldn't expect either one of those young men to be playing on Friday or on Saturday afternoon. I think they're both probably going to be out. That's usually the way things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So since you're most familiar with Georgia State, I know they've had some players hurt, and they've had a very crazy schedule where they had, what, three out of their first four games were postponed or canceled. And the one game that they got in September was a 34-31 overtime loss to Louisiana, which was ranked 19th at the time, is still nationally ranked. So based on what you saw from Georgia State early on to where they are now, how have they come along? How's the season gone?
It's been an interesting season. They've you referenced that Louisiana game, and they really should have won that game. Louisiana made a big push in the fourth quarter and won that game in overtime. So that's a game I think Georgia State thought they should have won. But that's kind of been the thing for them. They probably had they had a great chance to beat Appalachian State, mm-hmm. and they couldn't close that game. They had a great chance. They should have beaten Arkansas State and couldn't put that one away. So they've had a hard time closing. Now, that changed a little bit last week. But mm-hmm. I think closing games has been the main issue they've had. But, you know, it's been an interesting season.
I mean, similar to Georgia Southern, they've had a lot of close games. You know, I'm looking at the schedule now. You know, a one score loss to Arkansas State, a one score loss, like you said, Louisiana, one score loss to Appalachian State, a one score win over Troy. So I mean, similar to Georgia Southern, they've had a lot of close games. What's been the key for keeping them in these games against a good Appalachian State team, and getting over those wins, against Detroit or like last week against South Alabama? What's been the key to keeping them in these contests?
Well, the thing kind of turned around offensively for them against Coastal Carolina. They came out and they just got smacked early, and Coastal just basically just put a beat down on them. I mean, it was like 28-0 before you could barely blink an eye. And since then, their defense has been really good, especially against the run. They really, slowed App State down. And you guys know App State. They run the ball just kind of as well as you guys do. A little bit different, but they're the same kind of running team. But since then, their defense has been the difference, and I think that has made them a better football team.
I do want to kind of get an explanation of what happened at Coastal Carolina. It actually was a home game in Atlanta at Center Park Stadium, 51-0. It's kind of like an outlier, like you were saying, compared to basically every other game. And they had some strong wins in there. But how did they get run out of the building like that? Coastal obviously very good, and Coastal pretty much had their way in the fourth quarter against Georgia Southern on a hot Saturday afternoon. They scored the last two touchdowns of the game, and that was the difference of basically was a very tight game for three quarters, and they owned the fourth quarter. What happened when Coastal Carolina came in, and then we'll talk about the South Alabama game, which is a happier thing to talk about for the Panthers.
Well, I think the Coastal game was right on the heels. They had a big win the week before against Troy.
Right.
They'd gone down to Troy, Alabama, and came away with a win there. They had never won in Troy before, but they were riding pretty high. And I believe Coastal was the game they came out and they had a turnover real quick. Coastal scored. They punted. Georgia State came down and missed a field goal on their opening possession. And then Coastal scored, and they scored, and they scored. And it was 21-0 within 5 minutes of the game. And I mean, 21-0 is a lot. That's a big, big hole to dig. You know, before it was over, I mean, Coastal was just basically kind of running the ball up the middle just to keep from running it up.
They totally dominated the stats. I mean, 30 yards net passing for Georgia State that game. That's when you're down by that. Anyway, just a game they probably erased from the archives. But the South Alabama game last week, the freshest evidence we have of how they're playing, like you wrote about in the AJC, I guess they had 4 turnovers, 3 interceptions, and a fumble. They were not doing the way they weren't playing the way they wanted to or needed to win. And then they just owned the second half, basically.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird. 3 interceptions and a couple of them they made great plays on. South Alabama did to intercept the ball, but at halftime they went in and just had a little talk and said, you know, they got to do better. Blah blah blah. Went out and South Alabama scored, but then after South Alabama scored and went ahead, Georgia State just kind of started hitting on all cylinders, and they scored 2 touchdowns on a total of 8 plays, grabbed the momentum, and it was just all over from there. It was really a great second half for Georgia State.
If you had to give, you know, an MVP, you know, 8 games in, you know, this is the regular season finale for the Panthers. You know, who's been that MVP on offense and on defense for Georgia State this year?
That's a good question. On offense, it's been a bunch of different people. On Saturday, it was a guy named Sam Pinckney, who was one of their best wide receivers, who had a huge game. And you'll see him Saturday. He's a big, tall guy with is able to go up and get passes and bring them in. Very athletic guy. He had a great game on Saturday. But at times, the quarterback, who's a redshirt freshman, has played really, really well. They got a bunch of different running backs that can carry the ball and be effective. But I think the thing that makes your offense go is their offensive line is very talented and very experienced. Mm-hmm. And they got guys that have played a lot of football on that offensive line, so they kind of know what they're doing. And when they play well, makes up for a lot of mistakes that an inexperienced quarterback will make. So I think I would be maybe the MVP, you know, those 4 or 5 guys on the offensive line on offense. On defense, they're a different team this year than they have been, in the fact that they are creating a lot of turnovers. That was one point of emphasis for them during the off season, summer, whatever that looks like. They were going to try to get in and cause more turnovers and be more disruptive, and they've done that. They got a redshirt freshman named Antavius Lane, who is coming, and he's just kind of like a turnover machine. He missed last week's game with an injury, but he is supposed to be back this week. But they just put a lot of pressure. Last week they had 7 sacks, and they just like to get after it. In fact, it was funny. Coach Elliott said that they were out there hunting like animals.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that comment. That got people's attention. What did he mean by that?
It just meant they just went after it and played hard, reckless abandon, and didn't care who got in their way, and they just kept playing with a lot of ferocity, and that's the kind of defense he likes to see out there. Sean's an old school guy; he's an old offensive line coach, and he's been a lot of different places, but he's an old school guy, and when he sees his guys playing hard, he takes a lot of comfort in that.
What's the expectation from, you know, Georgia State fans? You know, I know in basketball and soccer they've had a lot of success, you know, making postseason runs and everything. But, you know, football, they've made a couple bowl games and, you know, are able to, you know, beat Georgia Southern, you know, a couple of years in a row. You know, what's the expectation, you know, season by season for, you know, from Panthers fans when it comes to their football program?
It's hard to tell this year because it's just such a weird year. But I think they've gotten more – the expectations have gotten higher, as especially the last couple of years since he's been there and has kind of gotten his program established. I think they kind of expect more or less to have winning season and go to a bowl game each year. That's kind of where they're at. And of course, they need to win Friday. Or they would need to win Saturday to guarantee that winning season. and have a chance to get back to a bowl. But that's pretty much where they're at. They feel like they're at that stage.
Today in Georgia Southern's press conference with head coach Chad Lunsford, he said, he was asked, if Georgia Southern, Georgia State is a rivalry game. He said, we allowed it to be. They were able to get up in that series 3-1. We fought back to get it tied at 3. We allowed it to be, didn't want it to be, but we've allowed it to be. Since then, Georgia Southern and Georgia State fans have been, arguing on my Twitter anyway about, if it is a rivalry in football. I mean, do you believe that, the Southern State is a rivalry in football?
It's kind of funny. A guy who I worked with for a long time, he graduated from Southern and I graduated from State. We used to always joke about it all the time, especially when State started playing football. I thought there's no way that they're ever going to be competitive with Georgia Southern. And it's really actually kind of surprised me that they have been. It's gotten to the point where they win on a regular basis. But I think it's definitely a rivalry. And it's a good one. I think it's a good, healthy rivalry to have two, good quality teams like that. Not Power Five conferences, but within the same, especially now they're in the same league. I think it's good.
Yeah, you'd think with the proximity, with them recruiting, I would think they would recruit a lot of the same players, at least the same high schools, that they would bump into each other out there and fighting over players. And you mentioned Sean Elliott. Chad Lunsford was a coach under him at one point, right? I guess he wasn't a head coach, but he was brought in, I guess, as a tight ends coach. Sean Elliott was like the offensive line coach or the offensive coordinator. It's a small coaching world, is what I'm trying to say. We went through this last week with Jeff Munkin, who was a former head coach and longtime assistant, and then a head coach at Georgia Southern. Now the head coach at Army, of course, and then because of a series of events, kind of out of their control, with the SEC not playing outside the conference, that canceled an Ole Miss game for Georgia Southern that opened up November 21st on the schedule, and then Army stepped in. So you had this kind of like friendly awkwardness, I guess, with, we talk, they talk and they know each other and they don't consider themselves rivals. And then suddenly they're playing each other and everything is tight-lipped, I would think, until they did have small talk before and after the game. And they're still friends, obviously, but there's, during that 60 minutes, it's all out battle. Does Sean Elliott refer to Chad Lunsford? Maybe this week will be the time to talk to him about it, but have they referred to Georgia Southern in kind of a friendly way, or has there been kind of like any kind of open dislike for the different programs like you see with, say, Georgia Tech?
I haven't seen any open dislike. In fact, he mentioned, I asked him today about the fact that it's the rivalry game and it's the last game of the season, and he likes the fact that it's a rivalry, and he thinks rivalries are good. And I think he believes, and I think it's widespread except among probably some of your hardcore fans on both sides, that it's a good rivalry. It's a friendly rivalry up to a point, but both sides obviously want to win. I don't think there's any hatred or bitterness that I can tell on either side.
Yeah. Coach Chad Lunsford said that I lost my train of thought there, but let me just ask you, Stan, what do you foresee happening on the game Saturday? What if Quad Brown has, he can throw the ball, big arm. They got, like you mentioned, Sam Pinckney, dangerous wide receivers, give everybody trouble. Georgia Southern's defense had been playing pretty well before going into the Army game. What do you see happening on Saturday? And will a lot of it be the passing game? Will that be a key part of it?
But it's weird, though. Georgia State has a really good running game, and they like to get that established. They had a problem last week. It was kind of odd that the guy who's been their leading rusher all year, he carried a few times and had a big fumble, and he didn't play again. Someone asked Coach Elliott on the press conference today whether he was injured or if that was just the coach's decision, and Sean said no. In fact, he's fumbled the last two games. And I'm thinking, how can we control that? Well, the way I control it is by not giving him the ball, not having him in the game. So I don't know what we're going to see him. I think State will try to to again try to establish the run. They'll throw a lot early, which they have done. That's been their pattern. And they may try to go deep on the first play. They've done that a few times too. But it's going to be very much a contrasting style, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. McLean, did you want to make your prediction on the Georgia Southern, Georgia State game?
I mean, I'm just glad they're playing. You know, I know in recent years or in this year, you know, a lot of rivalries have been, you know, thrown out between, you know, the ACC, SEC. You know, you're not getting the Georgia Tech or the, you know, South Carolina Clemsons. And, you know, obviously with them playing the same conference, I agree that is that it's a healthy rivalry. And, you know, usually the Saturday after Thanksgiving would be the final Saturday of the season, regular season. And I'm glad that in recent years they've moved this game from, you know, I know for a few years it was middle of the season, you know, mid-October, and now they've moved it to that rivalry week, you know, when the South Carolina Clemsons and the, you know, Alabama Auburns play. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the atmosphere. I hope, you know, I know I went up there in 2018 when it was, you know, in when it was in Atlanta, and you know, it was, there's a lot of Southern fans. I would say that the Southern fans kind of outmatched the state fans, and you know, because it got kind of ugly there in the second half. But you know, hopefully there's a good atmosphere, you know, safe atmosphere, of course, and hopefully it's not too cold. I remember last 2 years I went, and I underdressed. I just wore like a you know, button down, and it got down into the mid-40s, and I'd not bring a sweatshirt or a jacket or anything. So I'll be more prepared this week.
Well, you're lucky it's a noon start then, because I you just jinxed it. It's going to be cold at night, I can tell you. It'll be cold, but noon, I guess bright and sunny. We'll predict that. Stan, I really appreciate you coming on the show. You've been a wealth of information. You and McLean will be out at Center Park Stadium on Saturday, and we look forward to seeing how the game goes. Thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll get to talk about Georgia State and Georgia Southern again soon. Thanks very much, Stan. Really appreciate you.
All right.
Great job.
Glad to do it, Nate. See you.
Thanks. Okay. As we get back to it, McLean and I are going to hang on, and we're going to talk about the Army game. The 28-27 Army didn't lead until the end, till their last score, where they made the extra point. And that brings up my first point, not to make a pun, but special teams has been really costly to the Georgia Southern. Chad Lunsford has noted it. He noted it when it didn't cost them a game. And then he noted it when it, you might say, it did call, or had a big hand in costing the game against Army. Let's count down the highlights. He had a blocked extra point, which was crucial, obviously, in 1-point loss. He had a blocked punt, which led to a touchdown. The second half kickoff, they allowed the guy to get back to the Army, returned to like the 48. So a short field, which based on Army's offense, they're methodical. They take a long time to cover a lot of ground. You don't want to give them a short field. You don't want to give anybody a short field, but what are you seeing out of special teams this year and lately, McLean?
Well, I mean, the past, what, 7-8 years, they've had a guy that's now kicking on Sundays, you know, at first in Youngway Koo, and now and then Tyler Bass. And so that was the question preseason, was who was going to step in and, mm-hmm. you know, fill the kicking duties. And so you're looking at a redshirt freshman and a true freshman, and really, I mean, up to this point, you know, Alex Rayner, the redshirt freshman, he's been doing the place kicking, and then Dylan Lewis has been doing the kickoffs. And mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, they've had success. I think it was over the past couple of years, it was you know, something like 140 straight extra points made, extra point, you know, field goals made, and that was snapped on Saturday in West Point.
Bad timing.
I mean, we knew at some point it was going to get them, you know. Unfortunately, like you said, you know, they've missed a couple field goals throughout the year, but they've been able to respond. And you know, against a team like Army, like you said, where they don't give the ball up, you know, they held the ball for about 38 minutes against Georgia Southern on Saturday. So mm-hmm. you know, if you mess up, you know, you might not get a chance to get that back, and unfortunately for Georgia Southern, you know, they did get the ball back, you know, with 45 seconds or so, and we're driving, and you know, Chad Lunsford said in the post game that he wanted to give, you know, Alex Rayner an opportunity to make that game winning field goal, but because of, you know, that last, you know, 21 seconds, which I feel like we could talk for a whole hour about, you know, what went on.
Yeah, we That's a good ratio. 22 seconds takes an hour to talk, kind of like an NBA game in the playoffs. It takes about half an hour to play the last 5 minutes. Just to put a fine point on it, time of possession, which you knew was going to be a big deal with when Army and Georgia Southern played, and you figured it'd be even because both teams, like, that's one of their categories that they own when they play opponents. But you're right, it was 38 minutes, 24 seconds for Army, 21 minutes, 36 seconds for Georgia Southern. But it wouldn't have mattered, like you said, if they had made that short field goal, if they made the extra point, if they hadn't gotten punt blocked. And punting had been good. And with Anthony Beck, he had been a really good punter this year, has been. But punters get their punts blocked every now and then. Teams study up, they study the film, and they figure out ways to get to the punter a split second quicker. There's a lot of things that go into a punt and a snap and the guy's steps and all that. I'm not the expert here, but definitely, these things happen and missed extra points happen. The timing was terrible. But like you said, they weren't out of the game because of some uncharacteristic situation where Army was trying to run out the clock and then kind of ran around with the ball and got a holding penalty, which penalty stopped the clock. And so they had to punt, which gave Georgia Southern a chance to come back. Now, here's another key random thing that happened is Shai Wirtz, their four-year starter, their senior, their leader, the guy that's made so many clutch plays that you've been witness to, that fans have seen, he gets thrown down on the turf on his right throwing shoulder, comes out of the game, and it's too sore for him to throw the ball with any velocity. To quote Chad Lunsford, he couldn't put any velocity or enough velocity on the ball. And they had to pass. They were down. They had a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. They couldn't count on running the ball. So Justin Tomlin went in. He hasn't played a whole lot this year. He's kind of taken a few snaps when Shai Wirtz has been out. They got only one game where they've had a breather in the fourth quarter against UMass. I think Justin Tomlin probably played the most in that fourth quarter combined. And he's played before. He's played on other seasons. But tough role to put somebody in where they've been on the bench watching the game for a couple hours and they have to go in and throw the ball in live game situations, a tall order. And he was doing okay. He completed a 30-yard pass to Malik Murray to the 30-yard line with 22 seconds left, and that gave them that, which the point that you were talking about. You have 22 seconds, no timeouts. What do you do? This is the argument of debate. Do you kick the field goal, which would have been a 47-yarder. Alex Rayner's career long, which is we're talking only about this year, is a 41-yarder. Or do you try to get a little closer? With 22 seconds left in an NFL game, there's not even an argument. You run another play or two. But what happened, McClain, instead of them being able to run two more plays, is Justin Tomlin got sacked for a two-yard loss. What happened after that?
Yeah, so... You know, a lot of people were, you know, a lot of Georgia Southern fans on Twitter, on Facebook and everything were confused with what looked like a quarterback draw. And like you said, no timeouts, 21 seconds. And you know, maybe Army was laying on the ball or maybe whatever. But if you look back at the tape and, you know, I've seen different angles from different reporters and, you know, different angles from from CBS, it did look like a pass play. They had a couple guys going out, but then a guy on Tomlin's left side started getting it, so we had to tuck it and go rather than throw. I think if Shai Wirtz or a more experienced quarterback had been in there, he would have been known to throw it away and not take a sack when you have zero timeouts and right. 20 seconds to work with. And he did, like you said, he lost a few yards, time's going, and then he gets up there to spike it. Spikes it, and then they go back and review it, and they say that there's no time left, and so the team shake hands, go to the alma maters, and then head on their way. So I mean, it was
there's a rule though. It's unlike the NFL, and this is something you had seen researched after the game. When the game ends, people don't have access to all the information necessarily, but this was looked up later about a rule change that and Chad Lunsford referenced this on the post game radio show. If you have 3 seconds or less to and you spike the ball, you're not allowed to run another play. That was the one play you got to run in under 3 seconds. Whatever you did with that play, in this case, it was a spiking the ball to stop the clock. And with 1 second left, one is less than three. So why that rule was put in, why it takes away all the drama of a team hurrying up and spiking the ball, and maybe they get it in within 1 or 2 seconds, and that gives them time to run the kicking team out there or time to throw a Hail Mary or whatever. Why that rule was put in, I assume it was something to do with safety or taking judgment calls away from the officials and relying on something like they do with basketball, where you can't throw in the ball inbounds and turn around and hit a shot like Christian Laettner. We're maybe referencing things that not everybody's that familiar with, but
well, I think famously, one of the, you know, because it came out in 2013, and you know what else happened in 2013 was the kick six between Auburn and Alabama, and you know,
where
Saban fought for that 1 second to get back before the end of regulation, and he got the 1 second left, and they went out and kicked the 50-plus yarder, and you know, Chris Davis returns it for touchdown, and the rest is history. So, don't want to speculate, but I mean, I feel like there might have been some stuff, at the time, you know, two of the best programs.
They were reacting to current events rather than the long term big picture. Maybe that was the straw, I guess, that broke the camel's back as far as that. Well, regardless, the rule was in place, and Chad Lunsford knew about it and regretted. He blamed himself. He said he'll be living with, to quote, he'll have to live with this the rest of his life. I know that sounds very serious, but he takes winning and losing seriously, obviously, and with good reason. And they had, with 22 seconds left and the ball stopped for a first down, they had time to get the kicker out there, and like I wrote about in my column that appeared in Monday's paper, I imagine they envisioned, like a million kids do growing up, they envisioned having a guy kick a winning field goal at the end of a game, just like happened to them when Louisiana's kicker kicked a 53-yarder when there was time for one more play, and that turned a loss into a win. They would have been able to turn a win into a loss if Alex Rayner, you know, had a good snap, had a good hold, and got the kick up. And obviously, he can kick a 47-yarder. He wouldn't be the kicker if he couldn't. So they wanted to.
And here's the thing also is that, you know, I know there's people, you know, George Southern fans want to blame, you know, the coaches or the players or the referees or, you know, Army for laying on the ball. But I mean, if you look at this game and you watch, you know, this you know, game that lasts about 3 hours. You know, mm-hmm. It should not even come down to that. You know, we talk about, it's a cliche, I feel like, you know, first half or second half. But, I mean, that first half for Georgia Southern, they were up 14-0 and had 1 yard there in the first quarter. I mean, they had two touchdowns. One of them was a, you know, fumble recover for a touchdown. The other one, they fumbled it, you know, within the 10-yard line. So, I mean, they had 14 points to Army, who had 0 points, and Georgia Southern had 1 yard at the end of the first quarter. So,
yeah,
I mean,
but they'll take
it. You look at that first half, and I mean, I don't know if you know, Chad Lunsford or Bob DeBess or Scott Sloan could have drawn up a better, you know, first half game plan. You know, going into the locker room 21-7 against a team that, you know, dominates the run, you know, holds the ball forever, and you're up by 14 points. And, you know, Coach Jeff Munkin, Army's head coach, said in the post game that it's very rare for an Army team or really any option team, but especially Army, to come back, you know, down 14. I mean, it doesn't happen often. I'm not sure if it's happened at all in West Point's history in a while. So, I mean, it's something that, you know, he's going to have to, like you said, you know, Lunsford's going to have to assess, and they've got to move on. And, you know, after spending, you know, 24 plus hours in New York or New Jersey and getting back, you know, they have like a shorter week. And now, you know, you're down possibly, you know, two of your key makers. So, you know, it's a game that, you know, he's got to put behind him, that the players have to put behind him, you know, and they're going to hear about it on social media. They're going to hear from fans. They're going to hear from critics. They're going to hear from Georgia State fans. They're going to hear from Army people. I mean, they're going to hear, you know, people talking about, oh, you should have won that game. But, I mean, it comes down to, it was a non-conference game. You know, they're still 4-2. They still have, you know, their two rivals coming up in the next 3 weeks. So, I mean, they've got to turn that corner and, you know, put this game behind them and you know, look to go 3-0 the rest of the season.
I think there's a lot to chew on there. Or unpack, or whatever, take your choice of phrase. We've got to wrap up the show, but I do want, you made a lot of great points. I do want to touch on a couple things. One is they've been playing so many close games that just the odds and the natural course of a season, a given season, you're not always going to make the play that you need to, or the other team is going to make the play they needed, or something is going to happen. And in this case, you had the end of a long streak of made extra points. You had Army going on a 10-minute, 51-second drive, which, according to the record books, is the longest drive in terms of time, not yardage, but time, against the Georgia Southern team, which is something to look up. They were saying it was about 11 minutes and 1 second during the radio broadcast, but it was corrected, I guess, to 10 minutes, I think 50 seconds, but around 11 minutes, which is a long time to hold the ball. And you mentioned about the scoring off of plays on a short field, off of turnovers, all these things added up a certain way, and they really needed to take advantage of it. Chance to win at Army, a road game that's a really quality win against a quality opponent. And now you've got, like you said, you've got a rivalry game or whatever they want to call it, but Georgia State on Saturday still got to play FAU. They still got to play Appalachian State, two games that were supposed to be played already, but because of the pandemic-related reasons, were not. So there's still a lot to happen. Georgia State's potentially ending their season on Saturday. Georgia Southern still got potentially a month to go, so counting the bowl game. So it's we're gonna have a lot to talk about in the next podcast, I think, McLean. I think we're
for sure.
It's gonna have to cover. So for McLean Baxley, this is Nathan Dominitz. Thank you for listening. Just one more time as a qualifier, we're taping this on Monday night. The news as we were recording, are going to record, the news broke about Georgia Southern's two football players from Georgia Southern getting arrested, and we will see what happens from here on that. When you hear this, look for more updates on SavannahNow.com. McLean will have more coverage this weekend. He is going to be our man in the press box. And McLean, thanks very much. Enjoyed having you on the show, our show. And everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way.